They don't care about policy. This is why it's so, going back to Donnie's point, it's so galling when, you know, Donald Trump stands up and starts, you know, talking about sharks and whatever. And then people say, but, you know, I still don't know which regulations Kamala Harris is going to roll back for more housing. Mm-hmm. As though these are somehow equivalent parts of the discussion that, you know, you have one party that is going to do have policies that maybe some of us on here won't like.
Right.
You have somebody who's going to be a president who's going to, you know, do what she does, and some will be good, some will be bad, and somebody who is basically sociopathic, who wants to be an autocrat, and the party doesn't care.
That is the, it's Tom Nichols from The Atlantic, not really known for their adoration of Donald Trump. But when you listen to what the Republican candidates out there, J.D. Vance and Donald Trump, what they've been saying and being on message, ask yourself if they understand what the American people are dealing with right now.
You know, gas prices are up 45% under Kamala Harris. That's just in Michigan. In Michigan, home prices are up 41%. I know we have a lot of parents and a lot of grandparents in this room. Speaking as the father of three young children, I would like my kids, when they grow up and move out, and hopefully that eventually happens, but when they grow up and they move out, I want them to be able to afford homeownership in the United States of America. That's a core part of the American dream, right?
So J.D. Vance speaking to issues that are affecting the American people. It seems like when you're looking at the polls, and we spoke with Tim Murtaugh of the Trump campaign about an hour ago, and you look at the polls are looking very favorable for the Trump campaign. But that one thing is always in the back of our mind. Can we trust this next election? Are the things in place to secure your vote as one vote and everybody else's vote as one vote? We bring our friend Joy Murdock back onto the show, a nationally syndicated columnist and a Fox News contributor. Joy, welcome back. Happy Wednesday. Good to have you here.
Happy Wednesday, Annie. Great to talk to you.
You know, we're looking at the polls, like I was talking about with Tim Murtaugh a little bit earlier in the show. Things are looking up. It's good. You'd rather be in Donald Trump's position from a polling standpoint than Kamala Harris's right now. But everybody has a little bit of an apprehension to feel comfortable and confident about the outcome of November. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that's very important. A lot of people, a lot of Republicans, even some independents and Democrats, are concerned about whether this will be a fair election, whether the people who are voting actually are eligible to vote, whether all the ballots that are counted actually are legitimate ballots. And, you know, that's a big concern. I'll say right at the top of our discussion that some people say, well, you know, it's rigged, so I won't bother voting. I'm going to stay home because they're not going to count my ballot. Now, of course, it's possible you cast a ballot and it might not be counted. There's always that possibility, either because of nefarious reasons or it might get lost or stuck somewhere, whatever it is. But I'll promise you this. If you do not vote and you do not cast a ballot, I give you a 100% probability they're not going to count it.
Amen.
So, yeah. So show up, vote, and you know, 99% chance your ballot gets counted. If you don't cast it, 0% chance it gets counted. So go out and vote.
Yes, absolutely. Wise words with Joy Murdock right here. We've seen different states across the country try to purge their voter rolls of people who are dead, people who don't belong in the rolls. We've seen that there have been migrants who should not have the opportunity to vote as part of these rolls. How are you feeling about the direction this election is heading and our security that we need to have confidence in so far?
Well, you're right. There have been some states like Nevada, I believe, removed. I think the number was around 80,000-90,000 votes from people who were not eligible. They'd moved away, passed away, what have you. There are other states who've tightened things up a bit, but there's a lot more tightening to go. And I detail this in a piece that I guess we'll discuss that's in the Daily Signal, which was posted a couple days ago. I'm working with a group called Common Sense Elections. We just got started, and the website is stopbogusballots.com. That's stopbogusballots.com. And what we're doing is taking voter rolls and comparing them with other government databases, property tax records, DMV records, the post offices, changes of address forms, that kind of thing. And what we're doing is comparing all these things, and as a result, we're able to find examples of addresses where people are supposedly registered to vote that turn out to be things like vacant lots, abandoned buildings, an abandoned yoga studio in Vegas. It's one of my favorites. The Las Vegas airport, the Harry Reid International Airport, you got people registered to vote there. And we're able to challenge these ballots ahead of time and tell the county clerk, look, don't send these ballots, don't send any ballots to this address. It's an abandoned vacant lot in Reno where seven people are registered to vote, so don't send anything there. Now, after the fact, if let's say the clerk goes in and sends those ballots out anyway, and they're intercepted by left-wing NGOs, ballot harvesters, et cetera, and they fill them out and deposit them, we're able to tell, oh, look, we just got three ballots showed up from 485 Elkins Road. That is, in fact, an abandoned warehouse that nobody lives there. There are no bedrooms. There are no bathrooms. There's no plumbing. Those are not real voters. Don't count those ballots. Some county clerks will say, that's terrific. You're right. Thank you. We'll put these aside, not count them. Others will say, nope, we're going to do what we want. In that case, we go from persuasion to litigation, and our plan is to go to court and make sure that these folks do the right thing. Just to give you a sense of what the magnitude of this problem is, again, commonsenseelections.bogusballots.com. We took a look at six swing states. We don't have any data for Arizona, but we have for the others. And for example, in Michigan, which Trump won in 2016 by 10,700 or so votes, we have 229,000 people who are registered to vote at apartment buildings with missing or wrong apartment numbers. Now, why is that important? Well, if the post office comes by and drops off the mail, and you're at 1234 Main Street, but there's no apartment number, what they often will do is just leave that mail in the mailroom. Now, if that's a catalog or some junk mail, who cares? If it's a ballot, that's a problem because people can come by and say, look, nobody's picked up these ballots in 3 days. Why don't I take them upstairs, fill them out, drop them in the mail? Or the ballot harvesters know, hey, that building has a lot of transient people. People come and go. Drop by every day at 6 o'clock. Any loose ballots sitting around in the lobby, pick them up, bring them in, fill them out, drop them in the drop boxes. Not good. State of North Carolina, which Trump lost by about 74,000 votes in 2020, we have 159,000 people registered at invalid addresses. The addresses do not exist. The numbers are wrong, what have you. That's about double the margin of victory that Biden had in that state. And of course, Pennsylvania, the greatest prize of all among the swing states, 19 electoral votes. Biden won that by about 80,000 ballots in 2020. And in Pennsylvania, we have, according to the work we've done using fractal computing, 262,000 change ballots or people registrations for people who are registered in Pennsylvania, even though they have moved out of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. 262,000 versus a margin of victory of 80,000 for Joe Biden. So this is a big problem. If you add it all up across, we looked at six states, in this piece that's on the Daily Signal by yours truly. I've got a spreadsheet that lays all this out. 660,000 votes, or I should say registrations of people who moved out of state. 663,000 people who are registered at invalid addresses. 916,000 people who are registered at apartment buildings with missing or wrong apartment numbers. And across the six categories and the six swing states I analyzed, we're looking at 2.8 million ballots which have problems with them in terms of their addresses and so on. So Common Sense Elections, StopBogusBallots.com, we're doing what we can to try to challenge this, let the county clerks and election officials know when things look funny. And hopefully they'll cooperate, and if they don't, then we have some very talented attorneys who will try to encourage them through our lovely court system to do the right thing.
StopBogusBallots.com, is that the right website there?
StopBogusBallots.com, correct.
I'm very heartened to know that this is taking place. Was there anything like this in place in 2020?
Well, there are definitely voter integrity groups that existed. I think that since 2016, with that situation, 2020, with the Stop the Steal campaign, if you will, that there have been more groups focused on this, which is good. And I think that a lot of them are doing decent work and doing what they can, but they don't have the level of computing power we do. The Jay Valentine, who's the man who started this organization, works with eBay on their online security. He has done the same with Geico, the same with State Farm Insurance. He worked with TSA to develop the anti-terrorist do not fly list. So these guys know heavy-duty computing, all kinds of stuff I don't even understand, and they're able to dig much deeper, much more quickly, much more efficiently than a lot of groups that are doing relational databases, which are slower and not as deep and also very expensive to operate. We're able to be able to do this at a relatively economical basis. So I would say that there are other groups doing this sort of thing, but they don't have the technology capabilities that we do, and therefore aren't able to dig as deeply and find the rot as far down as it goes.
We're speaking with Fox News contributor Jory Murdoch. I'm excited to hear that we've learned some lessons, because 2020, in COVID, a lot of things were changed last minute, very questionable in the way, state legislatures are supposed to change things. Some courts made some decisions outside of the state legislatures. There are a lot of questions, and it resulted in, we talk about ballot harvesting. That always sounds like bad words to me, but the truth is that ballot harvesting is a policy that is in place in certain areas, and the Republican Party needs to know, the GOP needs to address this and say, if they can do it and they're going to do it, then we need to do it as well. And it does seem to me that, you know, I don't know if we get an A+ on this on the Republican side of the aisle, that the lessons that were learned in a very difficult way in 2020, that there are a lot of entities that are putting all hands on deck to try to stop 2020 from repeating itself in 2024.
I do think that people are much more vigilant. I don't think anybody, when 2020 happened, you know, starting election night when they just stopped counting the votes mysteriously, I think a lot of us were taken completely aback by that and didn't really know what was happening. I think people are aware of this type of behavior. I think people are much more cognizant of the fact that the left will stop at nothing to get their people elected. And if that means breaking the law and stealing and engaging in all sorts of illegal and immoral behavior, they will do it, and they'll do it comfortably, and not even, their pulse won't even increase, because they'll do it very casually, in a very relaxed fashion, and unfortunately an effective fashion. And so I think people are much more vigilant about this. I'm not a big fan of voting early. I'm not a fan of ballot harvesting. My hope is that we will get in a position where we can get rid of that stuff and go back to voting on election day with paper ballots, voter ID, et cetera, and only U.S. citizens, not foreign citizens. But in the meantime, if those are the rules with which we've gotten stuck, I'm afraid those are the rules by which we have to play, at least in the short term. And that means we need to be out there and also, unfortunately, engaging in ballot harvesting. People have the opportunity to vote early, and so they should. If that means show up at the polls for in-person voting early, great. If it means sending in absentee ballots, fine. I would recommend not putting them in the U.S. mail, but dropping them off directly at the county clerk's office or whatever it is. We have a big problem with the mail post office, which is they are able to, they have to keep records on this. They did an audit recently, and they're able to deliver something like, I think it's about 98.5 roughly percent of the political mail on time. Well, that sounds really nice, but that means that 2.5% of the ballots are either getting to voters too late to fill them out, or they're getting back to the county clerks too late to be counted. And as you well know, some of these swing states, people win them or lose them by 0.5%, 0.6%. I mean, just
very consequential,
you know, very small fraction. So if 2.5% of the ballots don't show up, you know, that means your margin of victory didn't get delivered till after the counting got finished. So don't drop your ballots in the U.S. mail, even assuming they're totally honest and there's nothing funny about it. They just are not delivering it 100%, which is the number, the only acceptable number for that sort of thing.
Well, the website is stopbogusballots.com. Jory Murdoch, thank you for being a participant in these efforts, and we look forward to seeing the results of them, hopefully in a happy day after November 5th.
Hopefully a very happy day.
Yes.
All right, Annie, thanks very much. Be well.
You as well. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much.
Jory Murdoch, a nationally syndicated columnist and Fox News contributor. Always wonderful to have Jory on with us to talk about all of the important things that are taking place. We're going to take a very quick break here. Harris Faulkner is going to join us when we come back. Her best-selling book, Faith Still Moves Mountains. She is going to join us to talk about the hurricane situation, both Helene and the upcoming one, Milton, as we are watching it barrel towards the west coast of Florida. Plus, we'll ask her the difference between Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. Is there a difference? Kamala sure doesn't think so. A real quick break here, and we return with Harris Faulkner, Fox News. We'll be right back.
Fully cooperative and supportive and acknowledge what this team is doing.
President Biden speaking on the FEMA response to Hurricane Helene, and now we wait for Hurricane Milton to strike Tampa Bay and the west coast of Florida right there in the Gulf, and we pray for them as they're bracing themselves for what they're saying is a storm of a century. And we watch, there's a lot of politics that surrounds this, but first and foremost, we want to think about those people who are in the midst of this storm and pray for their safety and their security. Very excited to bring our friend Harris Faulkner back on the show. She is a best-selling author. Her book, Faith Still Moves Mountains, one you should absolutely check out. And of course, she is host of The Faulkner Focus and Outnumber on Fox News. Harris, welcome back to the show. It's great to have you here.
Annie, it's such a pleasure. And there's so much going on in the world. I really, really just grateful for the opportunity to specifically talk with you.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that. I've heard you on Fox News and Outnumbered and also on the Faulkner Focus talk about your experience of living in North Carolina. You have a personal connection to there. What can you tell us about your personal connection to that area and what those people are experiencing right now in the wake of Hurricane Helene?
I covered hurricanes in the early 90s. It was my first television market, and I was really young and just getting started. The people are amazing all over that state. My market was a tiny little market, Greenville, Washington, New Bern. It was like a little tri-city market in eastern North Carolina. And, you know, this week and a little bit last week, I've been spending time on radio with hosts in North Carolina and learning about the struggles there and the forgotten people of the Appalachia. We should be embarrassed as a country that we have leadership in the White House who went, it'll be 2 weeks tomorrow, before even acknowledging that they needed to get ahead of a storm. Like what we saw today was a blank storm of misinformation from them. They want to get angry at the media, angry at citizens who ask, why weren't you there for North Carolina, parts of Tennessee, Virginia, South Carolina, Florida, Georgia. Florida can take care of itself most of the time. DeSantis was sending his resources to the Carolinas. He planned so well before Helene. But today what we saw was a dog and pony show. And, yeah, I don't want to leave any circus animals out because it was a real circus.
Yeah.
And just to hear a sitting president use part of his time saying how he's going to do everything and how he's directing FEMA. That's his job, first of all. He went after Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. He went after journalists. He went after everybody. The last few weeks, there's been a reckless, irresponsible, and relentless promotion of disinformation. Blah, blah, blah. You know what we were doing all over? We were asking questions about where were they? 4 days it took us before we could even see them getting, you know, FEMA reports out there. Biden finally shows up in a storm state, and God bless him, he's an 80-some-year-old man. He didn't have the energy to do that.
Yeah.
He shows up in Florida, and where is DeSantis? 300 miles away where his people needed help in that state. Like, at least coordinate your schedules. But he wouldn't have been able to go into that storm zone with DeSantis anyway. And then today, we finally see the two of them. And here's what it read. I'm sure you got the same press release that went all over the media from the White House. President Biden, Vice President Kamala Harris receive a briefing on the administration's life-saving preparations for Hurricane Milton. You'll get the latest updates on the forecast and impacts for the state of Florida. And then they'll get their update. We took it live. And do you know that they weren't even in the same room?
Yeah.
And all of the officials and Annie who were on that virtual, whatever it was, Biden was at the White House, Kamala Harris was virtual, and then everybody else was virtual, FEMA, all these people, Deanna Criswell, the director of FEMA, she couldn't go down to Florida ahead of the storm? Like, you want to change the optics, but you don't want to leave your offices? This is really pathetic, but it looked odd to get a FEMA briefing across all those officials and not have one person either where Helene hit or Milton's coming. It's like they want to do the least.
Yeah. I point to what you were talking about as well. President Biden took the opportunity before he turned it over to Vice President Kamala Harris to disparage Donald Trump and to talk about misinformation and disinformation, which is their most valuable asset because they can throw it out there anytime. They never have to answer for it, as we saw with the interaction between Corinne Jean-Pierre, and she didn't want to answer a question of Peter Ducey. So she just labels it misinformation and disinformation. I mean, even Joe Biden has acknowledged that there was a slow start to FEMA. There are still people struggling mightily in North Carolina, and we've got another storm coming. It almost felt to me like they needed to get out ahead of the misinformation and disinformation, thus the very public press conference or briefing that we got to see today.
Yeah, I mean, there are people who are still missing. There was a woman, one of our reporters interviewed, who was brought to tears when she was finally able to get some fresh water. Look, I'm not going to say it's not difficult terrain. I would never say that. But we have a military that goes into foreign countries and builds from the ground up in war zones. We can do more and help more people with our resources and our know-how and our expertises than anybody else on the planet, except for maybe Israel taking the war on two fronts to terrorists that we ought to be killing as well because they're hitting our people.
Yeah.
But except for that, I mean, I think we can do anything that we put our minds and might to. Yet days into the storm, a week into the storm, 11 days into the storm, reports of people still who have not received any help from FEMA. And now we've got a big storm. And by the way, I dug this up just for you. I looked up exactly what is the truth over the $7 billion that FEMA actually has left over from old disasters, which could be applied to Helene and Milton. And here's the truth. The Department of Homeland Security Inspector General report from August says FEMA has $7 billion, which could be redirected to help recoveries from hurricanes Milton and Helene. That's in theory, though, because FEMA itself disputes all of the money is recoverable, signaling only about $4.5 billion is not obligated or could potentially be reprogrammed. Well, okay, that's $4.5 billion you're not using right now.
Yes.
Yeah. So then we're told that Congress would have to vote to reprogram the older money. Well, wouldn't you like to know which Democrat would vote no?
I would love to know.
Wouldn't you love to know who wants to protect the Biden-Harris administration and now the Harris-Walz ticket enough to vote no so that they don't have to admit that they let it run out of money in hurricane season? Like, this is child's play in terms of debating these topics, which is why she goes on Nighttime, Let Me Drink a Beer, and just these hollow, these hollow soul, empty-hearted types of appearances on the heels of more crisis for our American citizens. Kamala Harris is out there, you know, yafooing, still can't answer the question, not any time across three shows yesterday, one of them right across from Fox at the Howard Stern show. Could not answer, what would you do differently than Biden from the last 3.5 years, since most Americans are not happy with where the country's headed?
Is it
crickets from this woman?
Do you feel as though does she just not have an answer to it, or is the answer too negative for the voters to hear, so she's unwilling to give it?
You know, normally I would say two things can be true, but in this instance, that's not the case, because it's not that she doesn't have an answer and it's negative. It's that it's negative and we're 28 days away from an election. She's got the answer because she's told us she has the answer. She said, Annie, she's been in every room with Joe Biden, making every single decision that is effectively most important in Americans' lives. She said it. He said it. He said the words, you know, when he assigned her the border position, and I don't call her the border czar because when Biden assigned it, he didn't say that. He said she was in charge of it. He didn't call her a name. He gave her the responsibility. And then he said, no one better in my administration is available for this position. I'm giving it to you. It's on YouTube. You can watch it. And then he says, and when people ask you for things in the effort of dealing with the border issues, you tell them that your word is like my word. We're the same. That means they're the same. So when stuff's going downhill and she can't say, yeah, I wasn't really part of that, it's because she was.
She's an absolutely terrible candidate. It's really amazing that the Democrat Party anointed her, because I guess they assumed that Joe Biden was.
What do you think they did?
You don't? Well, I mean,
like, why do you?
Well, why do I
why
think they did?
They had other options, right? Well, I mean, they had other Democrats.
The only thing I think about that particular issue is some people suggest that maybe in Joe Biden's retraction from the race that he threw Kamala Harris's name out there and it was too hard to retract from that, which is an interesting thought, because we are scratching our heads as to why that might have, like, why Kamala. I mean, a lot of people will say that she's a person of color, and that Joe Biden said he wanted to have a woman of color to do that. Yeah. Yes.
So you don't have to like feel bad about bringing it up, because it's part of her resume, apparently. And by the way, as a black female who's been around for a number of years, and I've seen a lot of change. My father went to war when this country was in the middle of its civil rights struggle, and not able to drink out of the same water fountains. And those signs were still up, whites and coloreds only. But he said he believed in this country so much because we have the most potential of any other on the planet. That's how I was raised. So, I mean, I think she and I are probably about the same age. I don't lead with that. I'm going to be on the Annie Frey show today. Annie Frey's having me on, and I'm black. Like, that's not how I lead. And I'm an American before I'm anything, and yes, I'm a black woman.
Yes.
But that doesn't go on my resume. I don't understand why. So, yeah, feel free to bring that up, because she trades on it, and to the point where sometimes it's criticized in Black communities for suddenly popping up, and they haven't seen her in certain areas before. But I do want to address this issue of why her from a money standpoint. She was part of a ticket that was established and had raised over $100 million. They wanted that money in those coffers. They did not want to have to put anybody else on that ticket. But she didn't have to be atop the ticket.
True.
Like, they could have put somebody, but maybe she tapped her toe. You know, like, you're going to put me on the ticket so you can get the money, but I have to be, I mean, I don't know. I don't think we'll ever really know, because it would take Biden to tell it.
Right. And, you know, I keep saying there's always somebody who wants to make that bank on that book that they write. And I was thinking maybe it would come out in October, and I'm waiting for that book. Haven't seen it yet. I want to tap
in. So, Annie, when it comes out, can you and I agree to have tea?
Yes.
And popcorn?
I will meet
and
you.
We'll just, like,
I will meet you anywhere.
Tea and eat the corn.
That's exactly right. Before we let you go, and I want to be respectful of your time, you have a relationship with Donald Trump. You were interviewing him right before he was shot at the initial Butler rally. I'm wondering about Donald Trump 2024, if you see any evolution in who he has been, as you've covered him as a candidate in 2016, the president, a candidate in 2020, and who this man is that is asking for the votes of Republicans, independents, and anybody who is sick of the last 4 years and wants a change. Is he an evolved or a changed man at all?
You know, I think it's such an important question, because the 2016 Donald Trump is not the 2024 Donald Trump. I think when you lose in between those two elections, it changes you. And one thing that I noticed right away, 4 hours before he was in Butler on the ground, because I was in Mar-a-Lago, he's got a really fast plane, so he gets there really fast. And then I saw him again at the RNC, and I thought, it was only, 38 hours later or something like that after he'd been shot. I noticed a difference in him when we sat down, and he said, I want to fix New York, Harris. I'm like, you want to fix New York? You know what? Maybe you should play that entire interview that got sort of put out in pieces, Annie. You're giving me an idea, because we had to do it that way because of the coverage.
Yes.
Of the assassination attempt. So what he said was, I want to work with Democrats in blue cities. It's why he's willing to look at SALT again. He said people are crushed under the weight of having to pay for all these illegal immigrants in their towns. And these blue cities are just really hurting with crime. He said, I want to sit with them, and I want us to work together to build the places that are still identified basically as the places that people think of when they think of our country, the big cities.
Amen.
Yes. And I've interviewed him many times. I've never heard him directly say, I'm going to do that. So I'm just reading right now, because this is just crossing. So you're in my late day after my show's news grab.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like part of my news gathering now. So I'm taking you all inside. It looks like the last week of October, he will be in New York at Madison Square Garden.
Whew.
I mean, you are taking some steak off the plates of Democrats now.
Yes, certainly. And so many of those down ballot races matter so big that even if he doesn't win New York, if he makes a dent in New York, that will help his ability to govern. And I tell you this as somebody, I work in St. Louis, Missouri. I live in Illinois, a state where 60% plus of the population comes from Chicago. Beautiful, beautiful cities being wrecked by blue policies. And hearing a presidential candidate talk about not just letting them go and leaving them to what they've become, it's very encouraging.
Yeah, I would say the one other thing that I have noticed is he brings up faith a lot more. And I know he fights with that a little bit, because he'll say, well, you know, I think he doesn't want people to think that he's not willing to do what he said on that stage. This is just my humble opinion from seeing him. I've heard him talk more and more about faith. And it is, to me, a continuation of the Lord sparing anyone's life. You get up, you fight, and then you get introspective. And I haven't sat down with him since then, but I will. And one of the questions I do want to know is, has that brought you forth in terms of how you view faith? Because he's got to get that evangelical vote. I did an evangelical roundtable on my show this morning on the Faulkner Focus. And it was interesting. Millions of Christians are thinking of sitting this one out. And it's, what do they want to hear? What are they not hearing from either of these candidates? It was really telling to hear that. And I see him picking up on that conversation organically on his own. So let's see if that's any sort of evolutionary point in terms of getting that vote. I don't know. I don't think you know. We don't know yet.
Yeah.
But I'll cover it.
I would love to. I would love to watch that. I've been saying that the main opponent that Donald Trump has in this election is cracking the caricature, the villain that has been lied about. The American people have been deceived about for so many years about who he is. And your interviews specifically do a wonderful job of showing the human who is a flawed man. He never claims not to be. But I would look
That's
forward
true.
To seeing that. Harris Faulkner.
Thank you for the high compliment.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Popcorn and tea, you and me, when Biden's book comes out.
And we're going to be there. I can't wait to do it. Harris Faulkner, thank you. Such a pleasure to have you on the show.
God bless you, Annie. Thank you.
You as well. God bless you. Harris Faulkner, author of the number one New York Times bestselling book, Faith Still Moves Mountains. I highly encourage you to read her book. She has multiple books that are on faith and on prayer. And I read her, I don't know if it's Faith Still Moves Mountains, but she has one that's out about prayer as well. And they're anecdotes of stories that she's been involved in and how she has seen prayer have such an impact on news stories that you don't always get that angle of it. She puts it in a book, and she's an amazing writer. She reads the audiobook, which is how I usually consume people's books. And I incredibly endorse it, think it's a wonderful way to spend some of your spare time. And so nice to have her on. She is exceedingly kind. Great to have Harris Faulkner on with us. And now, to top it off, let's get Wiggins back in the studio when we come back. More on the Annie Fry Show when we return. You can comment on some of the things that Harris Faulkner just commented on. Our YouTube live chat poll for today: would a Kamala Harris administration be any different than a Joe Biden administration? Yes or no? Annie Fry YouTube channel to vote. You can leave a comment if you so choose. We'll be back right after this. Just feel like we don't have the means to rise above and
feed it, so we keep away. 505.
I'm handing you my investing playbook, 348 pages on how I personally invest to target the biggest returns while mitigating risk. It's how I've been with the market, so I never break. Guidance so crucial for today's investor that I'm covering the cost of the book and giving you a copy for free.
To get your free copy of Charles Payne's new book, Unbreakable Investor, text the word WIN to 505-505 and just cover shipping. Text WIN to 505-505 while supplies last. Text WIN to 505-505 right now.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust, Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Endurance has paid hundreds of millions in claims. Call for your fast free quote today. Call 800-296-7260. That's 800-296-7260. 800-296-7260.
If you owe the IRS, you have a legal issue, and you need the Lance Drury Law Firm. We'll protect your rights. Log on at LanceDrurylaw.com or call us toll free at 888-367-6512.
Hey, it's Bo Matthews for Razorback Armory, St. Louis's top shop for guns, ammo, and accessories. If you're shopping for America's rifle, the AR, they've got a great selection from base models to the pre-tricked out ones, and they're restocking every week. Razorback Armory also has the most extensive selection of suppressors for the caliber you want, so stop in and start that process. Razorback Armory features the world's best gun belt by Core Essentials, the originator of the ratcheting gun belt, on Manchester Road, just east of 270 is where you'll find Razorback Armory, and online at razorbackarmory.com.
Man, if you missed the interviews today, you need to get the podcast. Tim Murtaugh at 1225, DeRoy Murdoch at 107, and Harris Faulkner just now. Some great, great content. If you don't use the podcast, like if you don't download that, today is a great day to try it. And make sure you hear those if you're just tuning in right now. Also, the YouTube live chat poll. Would a Kamala Harris administration be any different than a Joe Biden administration? It's a yes or no. YouTube live chat poll, 148. This time check is sponsored by Jerry Kelly Heating and Air Conditioning.
It's time for a $98 furnace tune-up.
JerryKelly.com.
We know you've got an interesting take on things. You can tell us by clicking the microphone button next to Listen Live when you're on the Odyssey app. Record a short message for us to hear when you tune into 97.1 on the Odyssey app.
Well, I got my first truck when I was three. Drove 100,000 miles on my knees.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Twice before.
Follow Annie on Twitter at Annie Fry Show.
The girl next door, she tried to pay me with a kiss, and I began to understand there's something women like about a pickup man.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thank you for being with us today. I feel pretty good about this show so far.
I'll say, you know, I thought it was neat hearing Harris Faulkner doing show prep on the Annie Fry Show.
Yeah.
That was cool.
After she gets done with her day, which she said this is post her show, so you take a little bit of an exhale after the show is over.
Yeah.
But the news doesn't stop. So it's nice to hear Madison Square Garden, Donald Trump will be in Madison. She said the last week of October.
Yeah, well, she also said he's going in and just eating their steak. So,
with ketchup.
Food news.
If he is pulling from New York, he loves New York.
Yeah.
So whether or not he's actually going to win New York, I don't think it makes a big difference in this. I mean, if he wins it, obviously that's huge and it'll be a landslide. But he doesn't really, I don't think he's delusional thinking he's actually going to pull off New York. He just loves New York. He wants the people of New York.
Could his presence, though, help win a seat in Congress? Wouldn't every single House seat make a difference? Look at the majority right now.
I mean, it did in 2022, for sure. They won a whole bunch in New York that they weren't supposed to win, so yeah.
2024 state races, according to Real Clear polling, I assume these are averages of all of them. Pennsylvania, Trump, plus 0.2. North Carolina, Trump plus 0.6. Georgia, Trump plus 1.5. Arizona, Trump plus 1.4. Wisconsin, Harris 0.5. Michigan, Trump 0.5. Nevada, wow. Harris 1.1. 1.4, 1.5. 1.5 is the biggest lead either candidate has, and it's Georgia for Trump. And Nevada is Harris 1.1. And Nevada has the election law, correct me if I'm wrong here, where they mail a ballot out to every single voter. They just mail it to you.
That sounds right. I know that Nevada has a lot of election integrity issues, so that doesn't surprise me.
I just got my mail-in ballot request form in the mail as an Illinois voter. I just got it a couple days ago. I don't check the mail too often. I actually hate the mail. Like, we've said this before. What would you eliminate if you were, or like, what would you do if you became the queen of the universe, king of the universe? The first thing is always chewing gum. The second thing might be actual physical mail. There's a better way. But I got that mail in Illinois. Everybody gets a mail-in ballot request form. So you get in the mail a request to have a mail-in ballot. And I got that and I ripped it up and threw it in the trash. In Nevada, my understanding is everybody gets their ballot in the mail.
Gosh. I mean, you're just asking for problems. What drives me crazy is that people actively on the left, they
maybe
go,
that's their way of solving their problems.
Why are you trying to undermine democracy? You know, Donald Trump's out there undermining the integrity of our elections. He's making people doubt it. Well, what have you done to, you know, assuage people's fears about it? You don't do anything. So if people have legitimate fears, you're not willing to address any of them for any reason.
Yeah, you actively fight it. So you've got a state like Nevada where they mail out all of their ballots to everybody. And then if you go in as the GOP and you try to you know, force them to clean up their voter rolls, then you get these Democrat groups that swoop in and file countersuits and try to stop any of that from happening. I mean, if you want mail-in ballot, mail-out balloting to be safe and secure and as you know, secure as possible, then you have to make sure that your voter rolls are up to date and accurate. And to fight any sort of change in the voter roll, that looks suspicious as heck to me.
Language.
Sorry. That's a get a little passionate.
What? Now, he said hell earlier today. What did you say hell for?
I have to say this on the air now. I just wanted Kamala to shut up.
Off the air, said that?
Yeah. He does never.
No.
He never swears.
No, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Wow. He must have been really passionate.
It wasn't. It was under his breath. Like, and I didn't even say anything. I was like, whoa.
Like he was ashamed of it?
He's ticked.
Oh, no.
I was just tired of listening to Kamala. It was whenever she was doing the thing on that Zoom call or whatever with Joe Biden. And she's like, oh, isn't there something else you wanted to talk about? And then I couldn't hear her, but I couldn't see her, but I could hear the head nod. And then the FEMA director's like, oh, yes. And the misinformation.
Yeah. I don't even remember the context of how you use it, but he said hell. And I thought, he's had enough.
That's ridiculous because I, as an undecided voter.
I'm an undecided voter. I am undecided.
I'm undecided.
I'm really torn because I'm a big Stephen Colbert fan, but I'm also.
Shut up.
But I'm also a huge Danica Patrick fan.
Yeah. What do you do?
I don't know. I'm still right down the middle.
The influences are so compelling.
So when Danica Patrick came out, I was like, oh, I'm going to go for Trump. Then Colbert has Kamala on and he's endorsing her basically.
For real conversation, either of you, who is your favorite public figure that has endorsed Donald Trump? And who's the most disappointing to you that has endorsed or is obviously for Kamala Harris? Can you think of that off the top of your head?
Ooh, that's tough.
I'm a big fan of Zachary Levi, of which I know that he's Flynn Rider in Tangled, which is the Rapunzel story for Disney. He's Shazam. He's other things. He's what I would call he's a leading role character in A-list Hollywood movies. But I'm pretty pumped that he came out and supported Trump.
I am too. I think I'm most impressed by that one because he has the most on the line.
I almost got one of my... I'm not going to say who it is on air. It was a family member who is passionate about Trump. I was looking, shopping for a baby's first Christmas ornament for a baby shower I just went to this weekend. And there's a Hulk Hogan.
Oh, yeah?
At Hallmark. The shirt? At Hallmark. Yes, he's tearing the shirt. And I almost got that from my Trump-loving family member.
It wasn't a Trump ornament.
No.
It was just Hulk Hogan.
No, but like it's Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
And I think that for a lot of people, Hulk Hogan would be the like... I'm so glad he came out and said that, but I'm also like not surprised that Hulk Hogan would be pro-Trump.
I have my one that I'm the most disappointed in.
Hold on to that.
Okay.
Let's get some of the thoughts from people on the chat. Who are you most excited about endorsing Trump, and who is the most disappointing public figure that came out and supported Kamala Harris? And you're like, oh man, that one actually, like everybody has the right to think what they want, but that one really sucks. Tell us in the chat, Ryan and Brad, you can give us ours when you come back. I'll come up with mine as well. Don't go away.